This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech,
it's here.
Source Trunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 16, recorded on the 21st of February, 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. With this episode, I'll be drinking a Grimbergen Blonde. It's originated from the village of Grimbergen in 1128. The Norbertus Abbey made this lovely beer. The Norbertines, they were very, very helpful for the less fortunate and travelers. When in need, they would provide you with food and good comfort and nice beer, like this Blonde Grimbergen. It's a bittersweet beer. It has a round taste, not too sparkling, the water they use, only a bit, and not sour at all. A bit fruity and light. It's only 6.7 degrees alcohol, and you have to pour this one in an open and round glass. I'm going to try it now. I know this beer. I sometimes drink it in the summer. It's not really my taste. It's got a bit of an aftertaste, a bit of like you have you're always thirsty when you drink this beer, but it's not too bad. Let's go.
Games.
Nexius. I'm pronouncing it Nexius, but it could be pronounced otherwise. It's not too clear how to pronounce this. I'll try to spell it. Nexuiz. It's a game. Why a game? Well, I have the week off and I like to play a game once in a while, and I found Nexuiz. I'm just pronouncing it differently now. I'll call it Nexuiz. The reason why I wanted to do a podcast around Nexuiz is the following. There is a bit of a myth around open source games. The myth is that open source games are dull, they are visually completely unattractive, they are not sophisticated, they are not playworthy at all. It's a good attempt to make a good game. And obviously, people who state this have never seen Nexuiz. Nexuiz is a 3D deathmatch game project, and a very good one as well. It's a 3D first-person shooter. It's completely created online, and it is based on the open-sourced Quake 1 engine. Now, just for people who are not familiar with 3D first-person shooters, if you don't know Quake, Quake 2, Quake 3, or things like Doom 3 or Half-Life, you see in the game what the character you are playing sees. You see his arms, and most of the time you see the gun he's holding. When you turn, the world around the character turns with it. So it's just like in real life. When you look at your hands, that's all you can see. You can't see your face, and so on and so on. Now, the purpose of a 3D first-person shooter is to shoot as many aliens or other players as possible. Now, this explanation is a bit too simplistic. Most of the time, there are two modes you can play. You can play a campaign, and that means you can have you have to pass certain levels to go to another area, and you have to kill a certain amount of professionally trained monsters. Now, you can play online as well. You can play on an intranet, on a LAN party, and there you can play against real people, all connected to each other. Or you can play on the internet, connect to an internet server, and you can play with online bots or online people and try to shoot each other as quickly as possible. Now, in those online games, you can also chat, and that's a very social way to meet people. Some people, they really chat while they are playing. Some people can shoot your head to smithereens while chatting with somebody else. So it's really, really a very high level of hardcore. I can't. Okay, now back to the game. When I was playing it for the first time, I wasn't expecting a lot because it was open source, and normally those 3D shooters are really expensive, but I was amazed. The graphics are really awesome. The gameplay is unbelievably smooth, and I still suck at these games, but that's a whole other story. It's really, really nice. You can tell it's based on a Quake 1 engine because the graphical detail is really, really outstanding. Compared to the big commercial games, okay, the graphics are a bit outdated, but they have added extra effects. And one of the most outstanding effects, in my opinion, is the bloom lightning. So that everything that shines a bit gets a little R of light around it, which gives it a really realistic shine. Now, to have the to use the bloom, you really have to have heavy hardware, otherwise you have to turn that feature off. The sound is very realistic as well, it's very nice. Now the gameplay relates back to the quick, techno-driven, furious and high-paced kill 'em all games from years ago. The more recent commercial games, they tend to go more tactical. There you really use a sniper and take your time to shoot and to aim and shoot. In this game, you really have to move fast, kill fast. That's next quiz. Then you have a campaign mode as well. Like I said, you can play single player without internet. It's good to practice before you go out onto the internet and make a complete fool of yourself in front of other internet players. And in internet play mode, you can play arena mode, that's one-on-one you have to play. You can play capture the flag, that means you divide yourselves up in teams, and one team tries to get the flag of the other team and vice versa. You have deathmatch mode, you have domination mode, rune mode, team deathmatch, and so on and so on. Okay, I'm just going to start a little campaign. So this is playing on the local computer itself without internet, and I have three bots I have to kill. There we go. And the first thing I see is a little is a little red cross I can use to have some more health. And three bots trying to make life very, very unpleasant for me. I'm getting pounded on by something that... Okay, I'm fragged by thunderstorm. That's really cool. Okay, I'm trying again. I'm going to pick up the weapon one of the bots has left me. It's some freezing thing. It's emitting blue laser things, and I fragged Shadow. Yes, I've got a machine gun. I'm not using a machine gun right now, I just want to... Ow! I'm killed by myself because I was shooting at the wall. That was really stupid. Okay, let's try this again. Then I'm going to take another weapon. I want something more aggressive and powerful than what I've had now. I want a mortar. This is really, really dangerous in my hands because... Ow! Yes, when you shoot at the wall and you're too close, then you explode yourself. Come here, I'm going to jump a little up and down so people can't really get a good aim at me. Yeah, I'm getting the hang of it. And I've got one. Ow, 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 ow. This is really... Okay, I'm jumping out of campaign mode now because this is silly. Those bots are really even better than I am. Now I'm going to see if there is some server I can jump onto. When I hit the join button instead of campaign, I have a lot of servers I can choose from. I can select the sort order. I can sort on the number of players there are playing. I can sort on the ping that servers are emitting, so then I can see if a server is really close to me or really very approachable. I'm now going to hop on to a server which has 7 players and they are playing in deathmatch. Let's see. And it's a jump arena, so I really have to jump from one side to another. Let's see, where is everybody? Okay, there is one. Oh, this is really high. Ow! This level is astonishing. It has different levels of height, and you can jump from one level to another. Now I'm just only jumping. I don't need a gun. I need something really quick because... Okay, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You are so dead. You are mine. Ow, 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 ow. Okay, I'm completely fragged and all of my internals are splattered all over the arena. This is not a very good sight for me. It's... Oh yeah. There we have a shield, which is green, and I have a super weapon. Let's see what it does. It's a... It emits little things that explode. Okay, this is good. This is good. This I can use. Ah, got my shield up. Very good. Okay, so this is stupid. You can't see a thing, but I think you get the grasp of how the game works. Let's get out of this. Ow, that hurt. Okay, quit. Quit, 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 quit. Yes, I want to quit. I want to quit. Ow, 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 ow. That hurts. Oh, oh. Okay, so that's next quiz. And you really have to check it out for yourself. If you want to see for yourself before installing the game what all the noise and ruckus was about, well, just download a trailer. You can go to the site of NextWiz and download a trailer to get a good view of it. Now, the installation is really a breeze. There's one single package for Windows, Mac OS X and Linux. You just have to unzip it and you're good to go. You have the Mac binary, the Microsoft executable and the Linux binary all next to each other. You just have to choose the right one. The pack files, the data files, those are the biggest one and they're all the same. So that's a nice way of packaging for all operating systems. System requirements, well, you only need 200 megabytes of hard drive space. If you really want to play in high quality, with real-time lights, bloom, high detailed maps, and so on, you need a 1.5 gigahertz Intel Pentium 4 or something the like. You need a good ATI card and an ATI card with enough RAM, and you need 256 megabytes of RAM. If you go for the low quality, it's enough to have 800 megahertz in your computer and a GeForce video card, that's all. Now, installing a server, you can, if you want to, install a server where other people can connect to. It's very easy, you just have the same package. You have to open port 26000 on your router or firewall. You could choose another port if you want to. And you just tweak the server.cfg file, and there you give your host name, the play options you want to use. I have one running on my server for 3 days now. It's cool to see people connect to it in the log files and having fun, and then splash one of my bots into pieces. So a server, installing a server is really, really easy to do. Some negative aspects, well, okay, there are some negative aspects according to the fora of NextWiz. Some complain that they have more lag than with other games. Maybe I didn't really feel the lag on the games I was playing. But for the rest, it's really beautiful software. There are a lot of features that people want to have added to the game, but that's normal. For a game like this, you could always add one feature after another. The offer, the author is called Liever Meulen. He is part of a team of developers called Alien Trap. The group is completely internet-based. They're completely international. Their goal is really to create fun action games which are completely free and ready to compete with commercial games. Some tips? Well, like I said, try to do some campaign modes on your own before you go out onto the internet, just to get the hang of it. Availability. It's available on Windows, Mac and Linux. The latest release is 2.2.3 and you can get it at www.alientrap.org. The license is GNU General Public License. Yes, it's completely open and free. How to support it? Well, if you are a level designer or if you are a 3D artist, well, check out their site and check out the Help Wanted button, because the Alien Trap development team is actively working on a new project, Zymotic, and they can use all the help they've got for this project. It's not out yet, not that I know of, but according to the screenshots, it looks gorgeous. And if you're not a developer, just click on the donate button to donate to this nice program. And if, as always, if you don't like to donate and just use it for free, hey, you can, but just let other people know about the software. Maybe they will donate to it.
Like free software? Better yet, like free software with the power to make it something different and better for everybody? Valid Syntax is a short 10-minute podcast looking at the status of open source projects as reported at SourceForge and FreshMeat and others you might find useful for any OS. Also, with your help, we'll spotlight on each show a project of the day, editorials, and possibly have a little fun along the way. So join me twice a week for all this and more at ValidSyntax.com. Remember, without Valid Syntax, you can't do anything.
Okay, listener feedback. I got a comment on the website, and it was about the fact that I spend a lot of time reviewing open source software on closed proprietary operating systems like Microsoft Windows, macOS. It was just a friendly comment, and that's true. I try to find a nice balance between Linux, BSD, Unix, Microsoft, and macOS software just to demonstrate that open source can be used on anything. And if you can win someone over with open source software on a proprietary platform, in my opinion, your chances of making him or her turn over to an open source platform is much higher. So I will keep doing this. And I think almost 40% of my listeners have closed source operating systems like Microsoft Windows and macOS. So those really are my primary targets. And the OGG download of the podcast is really going up, which is super. Okay, I've got to give a shout out to Charlie Brownow. He's providing me with useful links about open source software. He's giving me more links than I really can digest. And a lot of his links have been very useful. One of his links was, example, Media Player Classic. I reviewed it last week. He pointed out to me that the ARC playback does not work out of the box on the Microsoft Windows machine unless you install the ARC OGM codec. I thought it did, but apparently I had installed it with another package before. I'm going to try to dig into some more links he provided. All I need is some time on a deserted island, because it's really a huge list. Really, thank you for these links. I really appreciate it. You can find his blog at charliebrownow.fox.com. The links are on sourcetrunk.com. I've got a reply from Nam Schlecht from GeekMuse, and he pointed me to something else about Media Player Classic, a feature I hadn't discovered. You can make a set of thumbnails of a movie just by clicking on one menu button, just to give you a reminder what movie you were putting on a DVD is all about, and it's really a very, very nice feature. I've got a mail from Phil Ladouceur. He really enjoys the podcast. He found it from a link out of the Amarok site, and he calls himself a compulsive trier of programs and desktop environments. Now, what he states in his mail is, I'm just going to read it now. What I'm curious about, would you consider a follow-up section to the show? I'd love to hear about whether you keep using a program, and if so, why? Or if you stopped, and why? I know you've reviewed several media players. Do you still use them, like XMMS and Amarok? Do you use both or only one? I think this kind of information really helps people when choosing open source applications, especially people who are new to the whole process, like myself. All that said, awesome podcast. Love it and look forward to it. Love the fact you've tied it to beer too. Well, me too. I love the fact that I've tied it to beer too. Thank you for this really nice feedback, and thank you for the idea, because looking back on the reviewed software, now there's an idea. So now I'm going to quickly look back on the software I've reviewed. For example, I'm going to take now the first 10 podcasts. I'm going to list them and quickly talk about the ones I'm still using, the software I'm still using, and why, and the software I'm not using anymore, and why not. So let's go to episode number 1. in which I discussed OpenOffice AFD Delineate and Electric Sheep. OpenOffice, yes, of course, I still use it. AFD, that was the automatic file distribution. Yes, it's so automatic, I haven't heard from it in 6 months or so. It just runs by itself, I don't have any worries about it. Delineate, no, I'm not using that, that's to make vectorized graphics of pictures, but I will if I ever need it for logos. Electric Sheep, well, I'm not too fond about screensavers that consume a lot of CPU power, so no, I'm not using that. In episode 2, I discussed Gparted XMMS MPDFTK. Gparted, yes, for all my partitioning needs, I still use it. XMMS, yes, I still use that one as a media player. PDFTK, yes, it's running in production to transform PDFs automatically. So yes, all of those I do. Episode 3, there I had rsync and Penguin TV and Java Risk. Rsync, yes, I always use rsync in different server environments. Penguin TV, no, that one I don't use, because I use other software. Java Risk, no, I haven't got time to play, except for this game I'm reviewing now, so otherwise I would play it a lot. Then we have episode 4, in which I was talking about TideVNC and Xplanet. TideVNC, yes, I still use TideVNC as my base VNC remote control, and Xplanet, no, I don't use it. The same as with Electric Sheep, I'm not too fond about wallpaper, changing stuff, and hogging my CPU. Then we had SourceTrunk episode 5, which discussed GQ View. Yes, I still use GQ View for all my image viewing, and Memtest 86 is still my application by default for testing my memory. Then episode 6, we had Daya and Warmux. Daya is to make diagrams, and I still use that heavily in a professional environment. I still make my flowcharts with Daya to a lot of a lot of pain and distress of my colleagues, but I still use it. And Warmux, no, the same, it's a game and I don't play that games a lot, so no, I'm not playing that anymore. But Warmux has developed ever since, so really check him out. Then we have in episode 7 Mondo Rescue and Ample. Mondo Rescue, I should be using that. I should be backing up my Linux hardware, software, my operating systems with Mondo Rescue, and I'm not doing it, which is a shame. So I should be using it. I'm not. Ample, to listen to MP3 files from the console. Yes, I still use it once in a while if I want to listen to music from remotely and just start up a console and start up Ample. Yes, I do. Then we have SoundChooser and Blat. SoundChooser was to rip CDs. Yes, I'm still ripping CDs with SoundChooser, but I want to compare it to another ripper that I have got from feedback from a listener. I still have to get to that. And Blat. Yes, I'm using Blat as an emailing system on different servers when they are running Microsoft Windows. It's very easy. Blat is the command line email application. So yes, I'm still using that. Then episode 9, TrueCrypt. TrueCrypt, yes, I still use TrueCrypt to store all my sensitive data in. I just make a little TrueCrypt volume and everything goes in it. Then you have episode 10, where we had webcams and everything to do with webcams. You had the program Webcam, HaskeyCam and Wacoff. I'm not using anything like that anymore because it's fun to play with, but I have no use for it. So no, I'm not. So that's for episode 1 to 10. We'll discuss in 10 episodes from now the episodes 10 to 20. I'm surprised to see how much of that software that I reviewed I'm still using now. It's astonishing. So maybe you didn't found it all that informative to do a little roundup, but I surely did, so I'm going to do it again in 10 episodes from now. Okay, let's wrap it up. Leave your comments on sourcestrunk.com or mail me directly via sourcestrunk@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Between the Lines by Drifting in Silence. Thanks for your time and good hunting.